Well, we're standing on the hummocks just near the cutting. Rob Simpson is with us. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
And you're here to talk about the mahogany ship, which you have a real interest in. Just explain for us your interest in the mahogany ship.
It's actually an interest in archaeology that I've had all my life. And the mahogany ship is a very important part of our history. And as a person who's got a lot of interest in history and in Australian history, I think it's a very important pursuit.
What was it about the story, though, that perhaps intrigued you in the first place? Are you from the area?
No, I'm not. I'm from Melbourne. But when I had a young family 25 to 30 years ago, we used to visit Warrnambool for holidays. And the little boys and I used to play on that beach over there. And so I got interested in this area and the shipwreck there. And, of course, in those days, it used to get lots of publicity in the media. So many people became interested in it because of that.
Because, I mean, the search for it is something which has certainly, well, occupied many people, I think, and, of course, nothing concrete has been found up till now. Where we're standing now, I guess just explain for us a bit about the area we're standing in now, I guess, and how this might relate to where the ship might be.
Well, we're standing south of Tower Hill, which is a landmark that I guess everyone knows. This area of the hummocks west of Warrnambool is actually 10 kilometres along the beachfront, and at times the hummocks go inland up to more than half a kilometre, so it's actually quite a large area. And reading the literature has brought me to the conclusion that the mahogany ship is not one shipwreck but several shipwrecks that were in this area and could be seen in the 19th century, and they were covered by sand. The sand blows onto this area constantly and covers things up. And that was the story that many people had, was that the shipwreck was gradually getting covered by sand. There's not one shred of evidence that the mahogany ship or any of these shipwrecks were built of mahogany. It's just a name, and the evidence that several people left in the 19th century says that the shipwreck they saw was the colour of mahogany. So if anything is found and it's not mahogany, that does not mean that it's not a shipwreck or not the mahogany ship.
Let's talk a little bit more about the idea of how the wrecks might have been covered up with sand. Where we are now, the beach itself is, what, probably not very good with distances, but let's say, what would it be, 50 metres away perhaps to the beach,
yes,
from here?
Something like that, yes. Yes.
Presumably, would the coastline have changed that much over that time? Because we're talking about a space of, what, maybe 150, 200 years?
Yes, well, people say it's changed, but once again, there's no proper evidence. But I think what is happening and has happened is that sand keeps blowing onto these hummocks and they keep getting higher. And that's why the shipwreck is completely covered and has been for more than 100 years.
So there's certainly a lot of historical evidence and anecdotal evidence there which points to the ship's existence and its location. Using some more modern methods, though, you've come to another way of perhaps identifying where it might be?
Yes. What I did to find that exact position given by Rollo, and it is quite exact, I went to Google Earth, and there's a ruler that you can use on Google Earth, and I measured on my computer screen from Gorman's Lane the 402 metres, and I measured 80 metres in from the sea, just like Rollo said. And when you do that, you can see an imprint of what looks like the hull of a ship. It's very symmetrical, and it's 150 feet long. You can also see another smaller section intersecting with the hull.
When you say you can see it, just explain for us a bit more about when you're looking at that picture, perhaps, what it was that convinced you that was what you were looking at, that was the hull of the ship.
What convinced me is my research and reading into archaeology. And when flight was invented, archaeologists found that if they were looking at a site of something buried from up in the air, that the outline of that site could be seen on the ground. It might be that the earth over it was a slightly different shape, or the vegetation was growing differently over it. And this became called aerial archaeology. Of course, in Europe, there are lots of Roman ruins. In Egypt, there are the ruins of ancient temples, and many of these are buried, and they have been found over the past 100 years by this technique. So when you're actually standing on the site of, say, the buried foundations of a Roman fort, because you're so close, it just looks like earth and vegetation. But when you're in the air, you'll see a perfect symmetrical square, quite clearly outlined. And of course, Time Team uses this all the time to find their sites to dig. So to see this in operation, you just have to watch Time Team, because that's what they do. It's not finding things from the air that you can see from the ground already. It's finding things from the air that are buried and that you can't see when you're standing on the ground. And that's the situation here. So when I saw the shape of the hull of a ship by that method on Google Earth, I got quite a shock.
What did it actually look like, though? Was it a clearly defined, a different colour, or what was it, just that the vegetation was different around that shape? Or what in particular did you see?
It's a different colour in the shape of the hull of a ship.
Let's talk about what you're doing here today then. So at the moment you've got lots of poles marked out with plates on the top of them. What have you marked out here?
Well, the mahogany walking track is just going along next to this site, and I think that's fairly significant too, although I know it goes a long way further, but it's very close. It has two bends in it. One is just over there and the other one's over there. And they just happen by coincidence to be in convenient places for me to measure. What I do is measure on Google Earth using the Google Earth ruler. Then I transfer these measurements to this site. When you do that without referring to the way the land looks at all, but just putting markers around what would be the hull, you find, I was utterly amazed the first time I saw this. The land here is in roughly the shape of the hull of a ship. And it's slightly listed to one side, like a shipwreck would be if it was on land.
So this to you is a pretty clear indication of what you've been saying here and what you've been drawing, or what you've drawn using Google Earth and so on, that this, as marked out, is most likely where the hull of the ship would be.
The markers and the shape aren't proof, but I feel that all the evidence comes together. There are so many pieces of evidence from history, and then you've got the imprint that you can see on Google Earth, and then when you mark out that imprint in the actual site, it's roughly the shape of the hull of a ship. I mean, everything comes together to make sense that this could be a buried shipwreck that was not destroyed.
Now, what's the plan from here then? So explain for us a bit more about what you're doing today.
Well, I've got an auger, which is a digging device, and I'm trying to dig with that auger and strike something. This is the second trip with the auger, and we did strike something last time, but we couldn't bring anything to the surface. So if the shipwreck was extremely hard wood, we're probably not going to be able to bring anything to the surface. So, but we're trying anyway. We've been given permission by Parks Victoria to do this. You can't just come along and, these days, you could once, but these days you can't just come along and start digging unless you've got proper permission. The first time we did strike something, couldn't bring anything to the surface. This time we're going to try again and hopefully bring up some wood. But if we can't, I don't feel that that's of great significance, because the sides of a ship are vertical. How do we know just precisely where to put the auger in? We're trying, but it really should be done by archaeologists. It's crying out for a proper archaeological investigation, and I'm a musician, I'm not an archaeologist. I've read a lot about it during my life, but I'm just here trying.
Well, theoretically, how far down would you expect you will have to go to find something? And last time when you found something, how far under the sand was it?
It was about 3 metres under last time. Apart from that, I just have no idea how deeply buried it is. But I believe the sand blows on here and keeps covering things up more and more. I've actually been in the hummocks when there's been a lot of sand blowing. It's not today, it's not now, but on one occasion I just had to get away from the, from the hummocks because I had sand in my clothes and I just had to get away. It was so awful. So it does blow on here, yes.
So is this the most effective way to test your theory? Would there be some other way perhaps to I don't know, to somehow, I don't know, I imagine there must be some other sort of equipment that can detect what might be beneath the sand, is there, or some other way to search or look?
Yes, a magnetometer, because sailing ships had iron objects on them. And that was actually done in December 2009. Professor McRae from RMIT University in Melbourne came here with a student of his, and they did a magnetometer survey on this site, and they found that there were pieces of iron buried under the sand here. Now, if they hadn't found that, it would tend to be proof that this is not the site of a shipwreck. And that's about all you can say. But the fact that they did find a number of pieces of iron buried here tends to indicate that it could be the remains of a sailing ship. So that is significant.
As you say, I mean, there is certainly a lot of evidence here. Putting aside your own efforts with the auger, what would you like to see happen here then? Or I don't know, have you had much interest in your ideas or your theories?
Yes, well, I would like to see archaeologists do a preliminary investigation here to establish whether it actually is a shipwreck or not. And I feel that my efforts with an auger are not good enough to really do that. On this trip, I might strike something again, not be able to bring anything up, and it doesn't really, it's just not good enough, even though I'm trying. But it needs to be done by an archaeologist.
If you do find something, if we do prove that there is a ship here, what do we do from there? Because presumably we can't exhume the whole thing.
I'm a retired teacher, so my interest in this is educational. I'd like to see it excavated, preserved and put on display. And my vision is for families, school groups to visit it. And I feel there are so many educational elements, such as ships, sailing, archaeology, different countries of the world. It would be very interesting to establish which country it came from. I mean, it might be a Chinese junk. I'm just guessing. I don't know what it is, but it could be something interesting and exotic like that, or it might have come from a European country, and it might be possible to work out which era it's from or where it's from. And I feel that there are so many educational disciplines associated with this potentially that it would just be wonderful to see it preserved.
So how far will you go then to pursue this and to, I don't know, how long do you keep digging for? How long do you keep exploring?
I feel there's a limit to what I can do, and I've been given some permission by Parks Victoria to do this exercise. And I think once that's been exhausted, I'll feel that there's nothing more I can do. Me coming and having trips from Melbourne all the time and trying to find something with an auger, in my opinion, while it's a good idea for me to try, it's not the ultimate method of finding this.